The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who is from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. What should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I have a confession to make. I feel bad about it. And I want to get it off my chest. I want to share it with you. I need to tell you. I feel like I should be penitent. I almost feel like I should just shave my Lenten beard off because... Well, I'll tell you the story. Last week, some friends opened up a coffee shop down the street. And some of us visited in the middle of the week. And in the middle of my Lenten caffeine fast, I had a cup of coffee. And it wasn't just this little oops. I don't drink coffee. So it was intentional. And then the next day we went back and I had a cup of tea. Oh my gosh. This was not accidental. I wanted to be polite. I was curious about this new coffee that they had. And so I broke my fast. And it's funny, but I am a little disappointed. I just wanted to focus on my body for Lent, to give it 7 weeks to sort of simplify and calm down. No caffeine, maybe eat a little better, run a few times a week and get back in shape, maybe fit into the wedding suit a little better. You know what I mean. But here's the truth. Lent is really long. Lent is really long. It's so long and I just want it to be over. I want it with all my heart to be over because I want to go into the parish hall and have a cup of tea and a donut. Is that so bad? Am I terrible for thinking that? I want this whole struggle in my life to just be fixed like that. Maybe it's more than that. Maybe it's that the seasons are so clearly changing. It's obviously spring outside, winter is done, why shouldn't Lent be done, right? Or maybe it's that the Easter candy is already on the shelves at the supermarkets and it looks pretty good. Or maybe it's just that I want Easter to be here already, and I don't want to go through the hard work of Lent, and I don't want to go through the trouble and the pain of Holy Week. Whatever it is, I want Easter here now and Lent over. And who wouldn't? Think about our journey. Over the last 6 months in our church calendar, we've seen Jesus born into the world, God becoming man. Over Epiphany, through Epiphany tide, we saw Jesus slowly revealed as this healer, as this transformer, as this incredible world-changing man. And we want him to sweep in and change it all. If he's going to change the world, why not do it all right now? In fact, in today's gospel, that's the motivation. These Greeks are looking for Jesus because they have this great hope in him. They have this great desire. If he's going to change the world, they want to be part of it, and we do too. We want to be in the midst of it all. We think the bad guys are going to get kicked out, the good guys are going to win finally, and that is it. But Jesus has a hard message for them and for us. He tells them the truth about the world. He tells them, actually, that the human conception of winning and losing is actually not the divine one. And he says, in fact, that the human conception of life itself is not the divine one either. So he gives us this seed parable to work with, to chew on today, to give us a sense of the divine ideal of life and death. A seed on its own is perfectly fine, but a seed that has died and is buried is what it takes to transform into a plant and to grow fruit, which then has its own seeds that can be scattered again and again and again. Jesus is telling the people around him and telling us too that he has to die and become something altogether new for it to be real life, for it to be transformed life, for it to be so incredible we can't imagine it. If Jesus is the seed, he's saying right then, his death will lead to him becoming this plant, and that plant will yield fruit that has the seeds of Jesus inside. And this is important because as baptized people, we are connected to Jesus in a transformative way, which means that when Jesus died and was buried and resurrected into this new plant, the fruit is us, and we have the seeds of Jesus inside of us. Do you hear that? Do you hear how transformative that is? Jesus became this rich, fecund plant, bearing fruit all around more and more every year, and the seeds are us. And as we die to ourselves, as we give up some of ourselves and let God move in more and more, we bury the little seeds that are us into the dirt and hope that something transformed will grow out of that. So the seeds that we have within us aren't any good, just like the seed in Jesus wasn't any good, unless we let them die, unless we bury them away and hope someday with God's love to see them sprout up into something useful. There is hard work in the middle of all that. There's digging and burying and watering and fertilizing. And that is the hard work of Lent, of preparation, of hoping that the little green shoot will come out at the beginning of Easter. So the message today is please, please don't short-circuit Lent. Don't give up on Holy Week. Don't skip it, because otherwise you will try to avoid the hard work of gardening and you will be stuck sitting looking at a seed, hoping that it will bloom without having ever planted it, hoping that you can avoid the seeds dying and being buried. And that, Jesus tells us today, is not how seeds work.